Welcome to the Erickson Covenant podcast. We are so glad that you've joined us today. We confess that we don't have all the answers, but as a community, we seek to find and follow Jesus and to discover daily the life he has always wanted for us. We hope this message will be encouraging and will inspire you to take the next steps on your spiritual journey. If we can help you in any way, please connect with us. The easiest way is through our website at ericksoncovenant.ca. Let's get started.
Good morning, Erickson Covenant, and good morning, folks online, or afternoon, or evening, or whenever you're watching this. Thank you, Tom, for that prayer. Joanne, for the reminders of what it means when we give. So today, I want to tell you a story for something new and different. Once upon a time, there lived a couple named Aaron and Mary. They were raised in a Mennonite community in Manitoba, and they married just before the Second World War ended. As with many immigrant families of their time, they did not have a lot of money, but they did have a small farm on very rocky ground. Aaron and Mary loved the Lord with all their heart, all their strength, and all their mind. Aaron peddled eggs and cream door to door in their community so that he could share Christ with anyone who would sit down and listen. They opened their home to any traveling missionaries or Bible college singing groups that came through. And they had a huge, long list of people that they systematically prayed for. I kid you not, that booklet, that thick. They financially supported missionaries around the world from their meager income. And in the mid-1960s, they began serving at a Bible camp for Native kids during the summers. And you might think that's a ministry that doesn't go really well with farming, and you'd be right. So they sold the farm. And they moved into a 10 by 50 trailer, began a small house church, and began serving in seven different First Nations reservations in northern Manitoba. Aaron held weekly meetings at seven and monthly meetings at another two, as I recall. They had five daughters, three of whom went into career missionary work overseas. And years later, decades later, several of their grandchildren are also in full-time ministry. Aaron and Mary lived out their final years in a small, nondescript apartment. They never owned a new car or a new piece of furniture. Every penny went to missions, though they did prepay their funerals so that they wouldn't be a burden after they passed. Aaron died 12 years before his wife. And after Mary passed away, their daughters were astonished to discover that there were several thousand dollars left in the bank account. They joked that if their mother had known there would be that much left, she would have quick written a check to a missions organization before she died. Why am I telling you this story? Well, Aaron and Mary were my parents, and I was their youngest daughter. I was raised with that sort of sacrificial living, sacrificial giving, lived out in front of me. And I'll be honest, I've not exactly followed in their footsteps. When I began to dig into today's passage, I came so close to calling Pastor Tom and telling him I couldn't really preach on this topic. Maybe that's why I needed to. Okay, well, let's get started. Today's text is from Luke 12, 22 to 34, and I'm going to read it from the English Standard Version. And he said to his disciples, he being Jesus, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to your life? If then you are not able to do such a small thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world have need of these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you will open our minds and hearts to the truths you have for us in this passage in Luke. We are so good at clinging tight, good at worrying, or at least I am, but I pray that you will remind us of how much you care about meeting our needs. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we dig deeply into this passage, I want to take a bird's eye view over the past few chapters. In Luke 9:51, so three chapters ago, we read that Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. That's a good reminder for us today as we commemorate the second Sunday of Lent. We have a few early stories from along that trip, such as the sending out of the 72, the parable of the Good Samaritan, and the visit with Mary and Martha. All of that was in chapter 10. Luke 11 begins with these words. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. The disciples asked him how to pray, and he gave them what we call the Lord's Prayer. And as near as I can figure out, and I'm no scholar and I could be wrong, but all the transitions from that moment to today's passage and clear into chapter 13, honestly, look like they took place in one day. We have transitional words like this. Jesus was driving out a demon in Luke 11:14. As Jesus was saying these things in verse 27, as the crowds increased, Jesus said in verse 29. When Jesus had finished speaking, verse 37, when Jesus went outside, verse 53, meanwhile, when a crowd had gathered, Luke 12, verse 1, someone in the crowd said to him in verse 12, then Jesus said to his disciples, verse 22, and that's right where we are today. What a day. He's done a lot of talking. He's taught them to pray. He's driven out a demon and defended his authority to do so. The people are looking for a sign, and Jesus explains the faith of the Ethiopian queen and the faith of the Ninevites after Jonah's rather reluctant sermon. He's put the Pharisees and teachers of the law in their place before offering a series of warnings for those who won't stand up and be counted as his followers, and then a series of encouragements for those who will. Then last week, Pastor Tom talked about the rich man and his big harvest. You guys remember that? The man had decided not to worry about things. He had a huge crop, so he was going to build a bigger barn to put all his harvest in, and then he'd be set for life. He wouldn't have to worry about a thing. He could put his feet up and just enjoy life. Eat, drink, and be merry. And Jesus concluded that story with the rich fool's sudden death. He didn't live long enough to enjoy his life of ease. Jesus told that story and closed it with these words. This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God. That's verse 21. Then he turns to his disciples, the ones who believed on him, remember? Unlike the masses he'd told the previous story to, and he expounds upon it. Verse 22, then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. the word therefore. I was always taught you have to wonder what it was there for. The parable of the rich fool was told to the crowd. But then Jesus turned to his disciples, to his inner circle. Do not be anxious. Do not worry. Fear not. Oh boy. I think that's something that we all disobey. What are you worried about today? What is your biggest fear that keeps you awake at night? What do your anxious thoughts consist of? I don't think anybody here can say, oh, I have no anxious thoughts whatsoever. This sermon is not for me. And I'm not going to ask you to shout out what you're thinking of. But I'm going to hazard a guess that whatever it is, you're not alone in this room. There are others, because many of these worries are common to us all. So is Jesus talking about all the kinds of anxiety in this passage? Again, there's that word, therefore. He tells the story of the rich fool and says, therefore, do not worry. So he is speaking of a very specific form of anxiety, but I truly believe that what we take away will help us with all of our other worries as well. We know worrying isn't good for us, right? It affects our health, our relationships. It steals our joy and peace. But how can we just stop? Let's dig into today's scripture passage and find out. First, we find out that God will provide for you. And he said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? So we're concerned about food and clothing, but God cares for birds who don't have the capacity to care for themselves. And he says we are much more valuable than they are. Second, God is in charge of the details. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? If then you are not able to do such a small thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Today, we're all consumed with health and longevity. It makes sense. I mean, why would we want to die young and full of disease? Shouldn't we want to take the best care possible of our bodies? Of course we do. 1 Corinthians 6:19 to 20 says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. But the fact is, at the end of the day, God is still in control of the details. And if we can't control them, then why should we be anxious about them? Third, you are God's priority. Do you see that in verses 27 to 28? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? You are the crowning glory of God's creation. You are his priority, you of little faith. He didn't say the disciples didn't have any faith. He just said, it's little. They are the ones who believe in Jesus, remember. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says, it's possible for you to worry. Obviously, it is possible. But if that is the case, you have a problem with trust. Fourth, God is your Father. And do not seek what you are to eat or drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. When we were little kids, most of us simply trusted our dads. If they said they would do something, they generally pretty much always did it. We didn't need to worry about our food or our clothes. They provided for our needs and kept us safe. Now, I know that not everyone in this room had that same kind of father. But that is the kind of father that God is. The kind we can absolutely trust to never let his kids down. And fifthly, God is pleased to give you the kingdom. Verses 32 to 34 say, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." If God is not your Father, who is? Fear, anxiety, and worry are rooted in an orphan mentality, in not having a daddy to trust. Do we want all our needs to be met? Do we want to be free from worry? Then don't focus on worldly things. Don't obsess over clothes, money, food, or how long you're going to live. Don't cling tightly to those things. Remember the guy in the crowd who asked Jesus to tell his brother to divide up the inheritance with him? Remember the rich fool? Last week's sermon is the backdrop for today's teaching. Both the real-life brother and the fictional fool wanted to lay up treasure on earth. They were not rich toward God. They should have sought God's kingdom first, and then their attempt at hoarding wealth wouldn't have been a desire for them anymore. Possessions, I think we all know this, can be lost through theft or destruction. They will certainly be useless in the afterlife. It is foolish to prioritize accumulation of worldly goods, of temporary things, when God wants to give us an inheritance in his eternal kingdom. We are so short-sighted. There is so much more for us in the future. This earthly life will then feel like only a blink, like the life of a daylily. But that's so hard to fathom now, isn't it? To us, this life is everything. It's everything we can see, everything we have experienced, everything we have ever known, everything we think we can comprehend. And Jesus said, "Therefore, don't be anxious." He has the perspective, and we do not. Live generously because God is your Father, and you can afford to be generous with others because he is generous with you. Whatever you give away, there's more where that came from. He is giving you the kingdom. It's his pleasure to do so. Joanne read Psalm 50 for us earlier, and one of the phrases in there is, "He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Today's text says he cares about the ravens, he cares about the lilies, and he cares even more for you and me. But what if we don't have enough for ourselves? How can we freely give to others in need? The Lord is faithful to provide. So generous is our God that it is his pleasure to give us his kingdom. He gives not only what is needed in this life, but he also gave his Son, Jesus Christ, as a ransom for sinners. If God is so willing as to do this, certainly he will be faithful in such simple things as food and clothing. verse 33 says, sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Is this today's application? Sell everything and give the money to the poor? Well, there have been people who have lived as if this were their life application. We only need to look at as far as Acts chapter 2, from verse 42 to the end, about the early church. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Did they put their heart where their treasure was? Sure looks that way to me. There was also the movement of the Desert Fathers in 3rd century Egypt. Wikipedia says this. It was Anthony the Great who launched the movement that became the Desert Fathers. Sometime around AD 270, Anthony heard a Sunday sermon stating that perfection could be achieved by selling all of one's possessions, giving the proceeds to the poor, and following Jesus. So he followed the advice and made the further step of moving deep into the desert to gain complete solitude, except for the people who followed him. Anthony lived in a time of transition for Christianity. Diocletian persecution in AD 303 was the last great formal persecution of Christians in the Roman Empire. And only 10 years later, Christianity was made legal in Egypt by Constantine. Those who left for the desert, such as this fellow, served as... lost my spot there. Those who left for the desert formed an alternate Christian society at a time when it was no longer a risk to be a Christian. The solitude, austerity, and sacrifice of the desert was seen by Anthony and his followers as an alternative to martyrdom, which was formerly seen by many Christians as the highest form of sacrifice. That is so foreign to us, isn't it? Anthony quickly gained followers eager to live their lives in accordance with the solidarity and separation from material goods. And from these prohibitions, it is recorded that Anthony received special privileges from God, such as the ability to heal the sick, inspire others to have faith in healing through God, and even converse with God on occasion. And then there were people like my parents who gave up any dreams of worldly wealth to bring God's word to others. Is this what we should aspire to today, friends of Erickson Covenant? If God is calling you to sell everything and give it all to the poor, yes. Otherwise, no. The early church did not require it of their members, and Anthony and his friends did not require it of all Christians either. Either way, I want you to look closely at the last verse in today's passage. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I asked you earlier what you are anxious about. What keeps you awake when you're trying to sleep? I'm sure you remember what your answer was. There are plenty of things keeping me awake, or trying to, these days. I have a really good imagination. I have no trouble envisioning all kinds of worst-case scenarios as I lie there in the darkness. And I can let these rob me of peace, faith, and sleep, but I am choosing not to. I am doing my best to focus my heart where my treasure is. So how can we focus on God's kingdom? Well, first, is God your father? If you are here today or listening online and God is not your father, your first step is to ask him for that relationship. He loves you more than you can imagine. He wants to adopt you into his family, be your father, and he wants to give you his kingdom. If you want to talk to somebody about that, feel free to seek me out afterwards or grab Pastor Tom or just turn to the person sitting next to you and start asking questions. Secondly, seek his kingdom first by helping others. If you see a need you can meet, do it. Don't be stingy. Don't hoard. Consider the source of your treasure. Where did it come from? Third, pray to your Heavenly Father. Remember to thank God for who he is. Thank him for being in control. Acknowledge his power and ask him to meet your needs and the needs of those around you. Tell him why you're worried about money or that other thing. He wants us to be honest with him and with ourselves. But do remember the focus. He is in control. When to pray? Anytime. All the time. When you're lying in bed at night trying to sleep. Fourth, look to the goal of a peaceful mind. This may mean to limit watching the news or the stock market or the exchange rate or whatever. It may mean to stop doom scrolling on Facebook or elsewhere. There is ugly, divisive news and commentary everywhere. Do we need to know every tiny detail? Sometimes it feels like it, doesn't it? But we probably don't. Replace the negativity with the next step. Fifth, memorize and recite scripture. There are so many good passages that help with the focus, focusing on the Lord. Psalm 23, Philippians 4, 4 through 9, 1 Peter 5, 7, Psalm 55, 22. Yes, I ran through those quickly. But there are so many. Seek out verses that focus on how great our God is. Why? Because I've found reciting scripture as I try to fall asleep to be vital at keeping my mind focused on him instead of on my anxious thoughts. You probably already have a whole bunch of helpful scriptures stashed away in the dusty corners of your mind. Whisk them off, freshen your mind up with them, and begin working on them and seek out more. Sixth, sing. Have uplifting, worshipful music on in the daytime, and at night when you're trying to sleep, those melodies and lyrics will linger in your mind. And since your spouse is also probably trying to sleep, you might want to do that silently in your mind. There are so many great old hymns and newer songs as well that just serve to focus our minds on God. Songs like, "Great is thy faithfulness," "Turn your eyes upon Jesus," "How great thou art," "Jesus, name above all names." Count your blessings. Whatever songs and hymns you know that will help your mind focus on things above. Refresh yourself on the lyrics so, you know, that you don't have to just hum through most of it. And then use those in your mind as you're falling asleep. I've popped a few scriptures up on the screen there, the ones that I mentioned quickly. But as for those six things that we just talked about of is God your father, seeking his kingdom first, praying, looking to a peaceful mind, reciting scripture and singing, do you have anything to add to that list? Because if you do, I would really like to know it for my personal use. And I would share with you as well. This week, let's put into practice giving all our anxieties, fears, and worries into the hands of our loving Father, who wants to give us his kingdom. Focus on him, because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Oh God, you know our anxious thoughts. We worry about finances. We worry about wars and crime and natural disasters. Today, right now, right here, we choose to lift our eyes to you and remember that you are in control. You have always been faithful. You have promised to remain faithful. You have promised to give us your kingdom. May we remember to focus on eternal treasure that you alone can bring. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening in today. We hope you feel encouraged and challenged. If you know someone who would benefit from what you have heard today, please share this podcast. For more information, or if you have questions, you can connect with us through our website, ericsoncovenant.ca. You can also find us on Facebook by searching for Erickson Covenant Church.